Good morning, everybody.
Ounces of Information by Central States Beverage Company.
Well, hello there.
And welcome to another edition, the August edition, of the Ounces of Information podcast brought to you by Central States Beverage Company. My name is Aaron Robison, podcasting live to me in the Central States Marketing Studios located here on State Line. Literally, looking to my right, Missouri. Left, Kansas. Story of our lives, Kansas City. Anyways, 1 year ago this month, talking August 2020, amidst all the uncertainties that were swirling around that time, we launched a brewery. A brewery out of Denver, Colorado, making fantastic, award-winning German-style beers, like as authentic as you can get this side of the Atlantic. Y'all know, I'm talking Prost Brewing Company. Also, just great name. Seriously. Coming down from the Rocky Mountains to bring their Pilsner, their Dunkel, their Hefeweizen, their variety packs, and the seasonal Marzen to Kansas City at a time when we could all use a drink. It's been a full year. So Kansas City rep, Mr. Matt Shaded, came by the studio to discuss and kind of reflect on that year, you know, what it was like to launch in a pandemic, what we've learned in the year since, and kind of where we're going from here. We talk about a lot. We get off track a couple times, but, you know, hey, we haven't seen each other in a year. I feel like that's a little expected. But even in the moments that we get off track, you will find nothing in this podcast but authentic, honest conversation that really sheds light on how we've all grown. Not just the brewery, not just us as a distributor. All of us have grown in the last 12 months. I hope you got your pretzels ready, and I hope you got a Marzen in your hand, because you're going to be thirsty for this one. Without further ado, Matt Shaded, Prost Brewing Company. Right down here, no other reason to stop. Let's get right into it.
Let's roll right into it, man.
This is the August Ounces of Information podcast brought to you by Central States Beverage Company. My name is Aaron Robison, podcasting with you in our CS Bev Marketing Studios. As John Kane has notably told me to call it from this point on, we are not in a building, sir. We are in a studio.
Studio. That's right.
And with me today to celebrate the one-year anniversary of Prost Brewing Company in Kansas City is Prost Brewing Company's very own, Mr. Matt Shaded.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for having me.
I didn't even ask you this, like, before we even got into it, which is really poor etiquette on my part, and it's even poorer etiquette because I've known you for so long.
Sure.
It is Shaded, correct?
It is correct. Yes. Long A. We could talk about the history of the name if you want to do that.
Why not? It's a podcast.
It is a podcast. We can get into some deep history. So it's Lebanese by origin. My great-grandparents came from Lebanon. And I'm sure at one point it was pronounced Shadid, but they moved to the Midwest, settled in Wichita, and then Oklahoma, and I'm sure it just got Americanized over the year.
In my head, whenever I first met you, it was Shadid in my head.
Right, that's usually what most people say.
That's good to know. That's good to know. Makes me feel good.
You know, as long as I get all the letters right, I don't give people too much grief about mispronouncing it.
It's also Matt, right?
It is Matt. It's not mate.
It's going to get real weird. We're going to get off the rails real quick.
There we go. Yes.
I also was very happy when you walked in because you are the second supplier ever to bring in samples into a podcast.
That seems to be just common sense.
Podcast about beer. Got to have beer, you know.
It's podcast etiquette. You got to bring some samples. You got to know what you're talking about.
It is very literal beer. It's a very exciting podcast for beer drinkers because it is Prost Brewing Company. If you're not familiar, Prost Brewing Company out of Denver, Colorado, is quite known on the German scale brewing circuit.
Yeah, I would say so.
And we're very happy to have them. And getting right into it here. Let's talk about a year ago to the day almost.
Wow.
Whenever, yeah, we were getting ready to load Pro Stop on trucks and send it out to Kansas City. So at a time, I don't think I need to remind anybody what it was like a year ago today.
No, I don't think you do.
There are some subtle reminders today of what it's been like a year
Very
ago.
Very subtle, yeah. We don't need to get into that too much, but yeah.
We'll keep it sunny and optimistic. Yes. At a time frame when so many people were in this industry, were pushing the pause button or even scaling back to an extent because, sure. you know, there's so many people who just didn't know if we were going to have product a month or a week or anything from now.
Sure.
You guys were pushing the fast forward button. You were expanding, casting that net further.
Sure.
What was conversations like that about in a pandemic?
That was not the initial plan to launch during a pandemic, I can tell you that. That was just something that happened somewhat organically, if you will. But to give you a little timeline, I actually started last March. So my first day with the company was literally March 17th, which was when the world kind of ended. That's when everything started shutting down for the first time. And we were initially supposed to launch in May and got pushed back a couple times. It was June and then July, and then we finally settled on August. And it was just kind of that perfect storm because everything was, at that point, we were just wanting to get beer out here. I was very nervous, actually, that entire first couple months just because I was like, I'm out here and I have no beer to sell. And it's been a couple months that I've just been kind of sitting and waiting for the beer to arrive. But it ended up coming, and we were able to plan ahead and really execute. And we ended up having a full truck pretty much sold before it even got here. So things just flew, and it was like Christmas every single weekend at that
That's
point.
Crazy.
So it was, I think the timing worked out well. When it comes to us expanding, though, I think us being somewhat of a newish brewery, we started back in 2012, and the initial plan was to just have like a Denver-only location, but then we're starting to expand like within our own footprint. We have two locations currently, and then we're actually in the process of building a third location in South Denver, actually right next to the house where I grew up, which is pretty cool, in Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
It's all for you.
It is all for me, yeah. It's actually right next to the Red Robin that I used to go to after all my baseball games.
Oh,
so it's
awesome.
Kind of crazy. But, yeah, we're opening up that location. And in order for us to expand and make sure that we're actually accommodating and being able to infiltrate in the market in Colorado, it just made sense that we're hitting the states around us as well. So the plan is to not, you know, take over the world or anything like that, but we're trying to do like a slow growth mentality as far as opening up new markets, you know, and where they make sense and where we think we're actually going to succeed and not just send beer just to send it.
Well, that's actually a testament to the quality that Prost, you know, holds yourself to, where you don't want to just expand for the sake of expanding to places that it doesn't really make a lot of sense geographically to send
sure.
beer of this quality to. Because, you know, beer loses quality whenever it goes further and further and further. That was the whole point of imports.
Right.
And, you know, that's why you're brewing to the German style.
Sure.
So it's American craft brewed like a German beer.
Correct.
So you don't have to drink German beer.
You don't have to drink German beer.
And I think it's all the way across the Atlantic.
Right,
you know?
Exactly, yeah. And I think it actually tastes more akin to what you would actually have, like if you were sitting in a beer garden in Munich, in a lot of ways, because they actually have, in order to ship it overseas, they have to pasteurize it. And pasteurizing, I mean, it does a great job of preserving the flavors and really, you know, locking them in, but it also kind of rounds out the edges a little bit, is how I like to put it.
Right.
It's not as sharp or it's still bright, but it's just not as sharp as it is, like right off the keg line. So, that's what we're trying to do is just make the best quality German-inspired beer that we possibly can. And our intent is to make the best example of German-style beer making here in the U.S.
When you say something like German-style and the whole point of drinking like a German, what specifically goes into the brewing process that makes you authentic and unique?
Sure. First off, I would say the ingredients is key. We are 100% Reinholdsgebot, with the exception of we do add some CO2 to our beer. We don't have natural carbonation just yet, but we're working on that. I would say that's the biggest component that we really strive for. So all of our ingredients are actually shipped over from Munich. Sorry, not Munich, but all over Germany, which is, you know, like our hops are all Bavarian noble hops, like the Hallertau Mittelfrüh is what we basically use in all of our, like our Kolsch, which we're having right now, and our Pilsner as well.
Delicious.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean that.
One of my favorites. Yeah, absolutely. And then like our malts are all primarily the Weyermann malts that we use. The only thing that we don't ship over from Germany is the water that we use, which would be kind of difficult to, to ship over some official German water. But
you know, there's something to be said for the Colorado water. I think everybody in this building can totally agree.
Yes, there is. It's unmatched as far as just the level of quality that you get from Colorado. Pure Rocky Mountain runoff water. You don't have to treat it at all. It's perfect pristine water to brew with.
And if you've ever been up in that area, they definitely showcase it. And it is unparalleled. That's why we prefer drinking what we drink around here.
There we go.
So what's it like being out in market as a craft beer guy, not having an IPA in your portfolio?
It's actually kind of nice. I mean, there's a ton of IPAs out there, and we get, you know, there's some other German style breweries that are in town, and we automatically kind of get compared to them initially. But I feel like that's a nice way to kind of break the ice in a lot of ways, because I'm like, well, yeah, we have Dunkel. And there's some other Dunkels available, but how many IPAs do you have on your wall right now?
Right.
There's so many options out there, and I don't see any issues with having two of the same style on tap next to each other, because I feel like ours is quite a nice addition to the style, because
for sure.
It's not like a lot of others that are around.
It's two genuinely good takes on the style as well.
Sure.
And so we in Kansas City are honestly spoiled when it comes to these things, even with just two on the shelves.
Right.
But that being said, you know, there's also some serious hardware that's being backed up by a lot of these brews that you guys are coming out with.
Absolutely,
I think
yeah.
Most recent GABF medal was for the Pilsner, right?
Yeah, we got a silver for the Pils. Yeah,
that was great. It definitely shows. That is a delicious drinking Pilsner.
And I think it's only gotten better. We actually added a gentleman named Chris O'Connor. He's actually our VP of brewing and operations right now. So he's just really fine-tuning things, and he is kind of a wizard when it comes to being able to speak about the brewing process. Like, I could listen to him talk for forever. He actually, you know, I sit here and I pretend to know what I'm actually talking about. He actually knows what he's talking about, and it's very refreshing to have somebody that knows exactly what we're doing and where we're going with the beer. And he's been doing a great job. So.
And he's been with the brewery since?
I think he came in last year. He came in about October of last year.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So we've had the influence of Chris O'Connor in the Kansas City market.
Yes, we've had the influence, and it's been tremendous.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It is a very rare brewing style, like we mentioned. There is not an IPA in the market in your portfolio.
Technically, though, we did have an IPL.
And that you know what? That doesn't count, but it counts.
sure.
It's a very good IPL.
It is.
It's actually, you know what? Can you break down the difference between an India Pale Ale and an India Pale Lager for the people?
Sure. I think the biggest thing is the yeast that we use. So it is actually a lager yeast, very hopped up though. One of the biggest thing being a Colorado brewery, we have a ton of hop heads that come into the brewery, and a lot of them do ask, like, what's your hoppiest, what do you have as far as like the most similar to an IPA? And we ended up selling quite a bit of the IPL just off the draft system at our brewery. And it was just one of those things that we were trying to come up with a winter seasonal, something that's a little on the more unique side. And since it sold so well at the brewery, thought it would do well throughout. And it was good. I think it just, it was something that I personally really enjoyed. I just don't think that a lot of people that were trying to get into the German beers really knew what it was. You say IPL and people are like, what is that? And it is what it is. But I think it's something that we're going to be kind of moving past. I think we are going to be launching a new seasonal coming this November. That's going to be a winter lager. So it's actually going to be more of a Bock style, so more traditional winter style beer.
But, breaking news?
It is breaking news. Hey! Yeah. So we're actually going to be launching that this November. Pretty pumped about that, and the beer is absolutely delicious. But need to say a little RIP for the IPL, just because I don't think it really translated very well to what we were trying to do. And plus, there's no German version of an IPL out there.
That's very fair. That's very fair. But you know, also it's what you guys are constantly doing, which is fusing German tradition with American craft. And
totally.
They're polar opposites in so many ways.
In so many ways, yeah. But definitely rooted in the same origins. When it
very
comes
true.
To it.
Right. Very true. Right. But is there maybe a chance that we obviously brew for the masses, and so
sure.
you got to brew what sells, and what sells the most is, you know, you got to keep your Dunkels, you got to keep your Pilsners.
Totally.
What about the people who did like the IPL, like the two sitting in this room?
Well, we'll have it on tap at our brewery.
Nah,
I gotta
so
drive.
You
can travel out there and get
fine.
Yourself some IPL.
Fine.
There, but I'm gonna have to do the same. I'm sad to not have it back out again. I think it's just a good decision to not bring it back. It did well here, actually. I mean, it sold pretty fast. fast, honestly. I was pretty shocked. And then we followed it up with the Radler. But when it comes to that, it's just, you know, you try to do your best and make sure that, you know, it's something that hits. And if it doesn't, you got to kind of roll with it. And we're in a good position to make sure that we have enough in our arsenal to make some adjustments.
Just going
to
go on record and
sure.
Point out the fact that Matt Shaded is in here openly endorsing bootlegging. on a distributor podcast. Way to go, buddy.
Well, you know, we do have a crowler situation at the brewery. Then there is such a thing as the mail system.
Let's not act like it doesn't happen.
We can try to avoid it all we want to and pretend it doesn't exist. But
not
it does.
Like I'm not going to go do it now. Right. I'm absolutely going to go get some IPL whenever it comes around. But you're right. We have so many beers to talk about here in the market, and we have seasonals to talk about. We just kind of got through Radler season.
Yep.
Weather's probably not cooling down, but
it's actually perfect Radler drinking weather.
It really is
right now. Yeah.
But that being said, you know, it's not like it wasn't perfect Radler drinking weather a month ago whenever totally. We had a lot of Prost Radler in sure. market. Can we talk about the Radler a little bit and the grapefruit infusion that you guys use?
Absolutely, yeah. So we actually use some grapefruit juice that we actually add at the very end of it. And it's a very subtle grapefruit flavor. It's not like overpowering at all. But I think the biggest thing about it is it does still taste like a beer drinker's Radler. So a lot of them tend to be kind of soda poppy in flavor. Like you're actually drinking a soda. And it's really sweet. This one is basically a grapefruit flavored beer, which I think is a great departure. Really nice and refreshing, very nice and crisp, not too sweet, just the perfect balance of all those things that are great about Radlers.
No, I think you hit it right on the head too. And that was actually kind of my only critique on other Radler styles in that
sure.
everything else out in market, not everything, but a lot of things are very, very sweet.
Yeah.
And clearly there's a market for that. Otherwise we wouldn't see as much of it as we do.
Sure.
But again, for the very few rare bunches of us that like IPLs,
right?
Also, I enjoyed the fact that this was more of a drier Radler that was very malt forward in addition to grapefruit forward. It was very nice. It was nice. It was good.
We'll appreciate that.
Excited to see it next year.
It's going to be back next year.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait. But that's not the season we're in, sir. And it's a very exciting season for German beers because it is the German beer season.
With
the Oktoberfests starting to invade the shelves.
Yes.
We won't talk about seasonal creep. There's no need.
There's no need. It's already been beat to death.
That's right. And you know what? Doesn't happen.
No.
There's no seasonal creep.
No. People need to get over it.
I'm going to drink it now if I want to, and then I can
drink it right now if you want to.
I can drink it in September when I want to.
You totally can.
Maybe October. We'll see if it's on the shelves.
I mean, July. It could be available next July. You never know.
Prost, Marzen is
yes.
here. It is back. We launched with it last year.
You did.
And so how's the year reception been?
It's been great. As far as the Marzen goes, I mean, it's – being able to pinpoint such a iconic German style beer is very difficult because there's so many takes on the style. But I think we kind of hit that middle point between, like, you know, you have, like, on one extreme you have like the Hofbräu Fest beer, which is basically what they drink over in Munich for Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
It's really nice and light. And then you have, like, on the opposite extreme, you have, like, the Oktoberfest from Free State, which I like to use as kind of the barometer because it's really big, thick, malty, and just a good example of that, really kind of an Americanized style.
Sure.
Although there are some breweries, like Eyinger has a very malt-forward Oktoberfest as well, and I think a lot of American breweries try to emulate that. But we're kind of in that middle point where it's, like, very nice and light, approachable, but not quite as malty as, like, your Oktoberfest and your big malt Oktoberfest beers.
I don't normally do this. I normally let the sampler dictate the sampling, but
sure.
Since we're talking about it, do we have a Marzen?
We do, actually. Yeah. You want me to crack one?
Can we crack one?
Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to put the microphone down.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I haven't tried it yet. I need to try it.
It's a good reaction, folks.
That is the maltiness I remember.
Yeah.
It's good. It is good. It, oh, man. Have you guys submitted this for GABF?
We did.
And it, you know, obviously didn't place in the top three, else we know about it. But
sure,
I assume this is definitely up there. This is great.
I mean, there's like a ton of options, obviously. So this is something that let me give you a little preface here.
Sure.
So what we're trying to do at the brewery in really focusing on making sure that the styles that we do currently brew, we're trying to make sure that we're paying homage to the German beer making style, but we're trying not to be limited to what they have been known to do in the past. So we're trying to do the best we can within those existing styles, if that makes sense. So we're kind of like almost like a genre movie, you know, where we're like trying to make the best horror movie while still staying within the horror movie parameters, basically.
Nice. Okay.
So when it comes to the Marzen, I mean, we're always trying to tweak things just a little bit and seeing how we can make it better, how we can make it more palatable, how we can really focus on that malt flavor and the roastiness of it and try to make sure that it's the best experience you can have, like drinking a beer.
I'm going
to
double down on that horror movie reference here for a second, because I actually appreciated that. And from the sampler's perspective, from the samplee's perspective here, if we're comparing this type of beer to a horror movie, it's not too gory,
right?
But it's also not too campy.
Sure,
it's just right in between,
almost like a gothic,
movie. You know, like one
like a ghost movie.
Yeah,
like,
it's
the
not
others,
gonna, it's not gonna make you jump.
Right.
But it's going to mess with your head.
It might make you jump a little bit. That we're trying to make get some nice jumps, but the ones that count.
I don't think my wife would like
cheap,
this movie.
Not cheap jump scares.
But she would like this beer, just not this movie.
Right. Totally. We're talking about Oktoberfest, and Halloween is coming up as well. So I figured that was a nice little drop
that.
In.
Thank you. It was. It's like the Babadook.
The Babadook,
you know?
Yes. Yeah. That was a great movie.
Yeah, it's not too jumpy, but also definitely a mind messer.
And it sticks with you.
It does. Yeah. It really does.
After you're done with it. Yeah, totally.
It's in my head now. I can hear him. That's not good.
The Babadook.
Oh, man. But yeah. So we have Martz, and it's on shelves now. And
correct.
We recently, not really recently, but I guess with the reopening of the on-premise world, have started bringing in kegs from Prost. Are we going to see some Martz and kegs?
We are, actually. We have quite a few coming on the way. They're going to be actually coming in next week. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
The 24th. First, I believe, is when it's going
to
be.
I know we've been trying to avoid it, but it stands to reason. This podcast is obviously being recorded.
I had to do the math in my head before I just said that, the dates. But I think I nailed it.
We're close. Yeah. It's coming. So that's
21st,
very exciting. And it was very exciting to launch Prost this time last year because a season like this was coming up. And I think it was also a time when everybody kind of wasn't really looking in the moment that we were in. We're all kind of looking forward. Like,
totally.
What do we have to look forward to?
Right.
And in the beer world, a big point to look forward to is Oktoberfest season.
Totally.
Because these beers are a huge market.
They are.
And to have Prost Martzen launch along with all of the other fantastic Prost beers like the Dunkel and the Pilsner and the variety pack that we launched with. We haven't even talked variety pack. We need to talk variety pack.
Sure, yeah. Currently we'll have the Marzen in there, obviously. We also have the Kolsch in there as well, which is our lightest beer option, which is a fantastic one. And then the Pilsner and the Dunkel will be in there as well.
Nice, nice. I remember whenever we were first launching Prost and you were coming in to cut videos for social and things like that. The one time, and actually the first exposure to Prost that I had outside of Denver, which for the record had some bootlegged before we got to the Kansas City launch. So I knew of Prost before Prost was in our warehouse, but I had never had the Dunkel.
Oh, nice.
And having the Dunkel for the first time, not just that first sample in the way that it tasted, in the way that I remember it resonating with me, but your descriptor for it at that time was just freaking perfect. And it
what was it?
Are you ready?
Yeah, ready.
This is the football drinking beer.
This
is the beer you drink when you're watching the Chiefs. This is the beer you're drinking when you're outside playing football.
Right.
When you're tailgating, when that crisp fall air really hits, it is Dunkel time.
Yeah.
And having a can of Dunkel out anywhere is just, man, that's a game changer. And it was so good to have Dunkel on the shelves.
It's been our best-selling beer for you guys, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it is just such an approachable beer. It embodies everything about German-style beer making that we really try to capture, just because it is so malt-forward, but still light in body at the same time. So, I mean, it's there. It hits up front when you take a sip of it, and then it just... it's like gone. It's not unpacking by any means. It's taking off and leaving, but it really just makes you want to take another sip. I mean, it really doesn't linger, but it really kind of entices your palate, which I love about it. It's just a fantastic beer.
And it's a good compliment to the entire portfolio in our warehouse and the style in general. Like we have Hofbräu, which is, the German brewery. It's
absolutely
the OG.
Yeah.
And Hofbräu Dunkel is a regular mainstay on shelves around here and in our warehouse. And it's a fantastic Dunkel.
Totally.
It does kind of lend a little bit to what we were talking about earlier with making it across the Atlantic and losing just a little bit. Hofbräu, it's still delicious.
It is
still
fantastic
drinking beer.
Absolutely.
But this
original is one of my favorite beers of all time.
Oh, yeah. could talk about the original. God, we can go all day. Let's not talk about Prost.
Absolutely.
But you know, Prost Dunkel is a very, very good complementary addition to that style. And in some ways kind of takes on a realm of its own as well with that American craft take. And,
you can
sense the freshness.
Absolutely.
It's great.
Absolutely.
And it's a different take on the Dunkel style too. So it's actually a Franconian style Dunkel, which tend to be a little smoother on the back end. I'd say some of them, like a Munich style Dunkel, tends to be a little bit more crisp on the back end. And we try to really make it a nice roasty round note on the back end too. So yeah, when it comes to that, that's actually the very first beer that we brewed on our system that we purchased when we were actually over in Germany. So give you a quick rundown on that.
No, let's talk
so
about
we actually,
that.
Actually, in 2012, started out as kind of somewhat of a backlash against what was going on for Colorado beer making at the time, which was, you know, making the highest ABV that you could possibly have, the highest IBUs around. And that's what just kind of what Denver was doing. I mean, it was kind of a race to see who could make the biggest, baddest beer. And so the owners initially and the founders wanted to, it was a group of restaurant owners and business owners downtown in Denver. They wanted to really just start getting back to the basics of beer making and making just excellent, drinkable, approachable beers. So they took a trip over to Germany. And while over there, they went to a Franconian village and found this old brew system that had been defunct for a few years. It was built in 1963, an old copper system that was just beautiful. And they bought it on the site. And one of the things that actually came with it was the initial Dunkel recipe for that Franconian brewery as well. And so it's actually the same exact Dunkel recipe that we use to this day.
Yeah. This may have been a conversation we had, but I did not remember that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a cool story to tell, and I think it's just a reminder of how deeply rooted we are in the German tradition and we really are trying to relay that here as well. So it actually cost more to ship it overseas than it did actually buy the thing.
Oh, man.
And the crate that it was shipped over, we actually repurposed that wood, and we have that on our patio right now.
I bet, you're going to use that for everything.
Yeah, I mean, it was
as much as it cost.
Yeah, wood's not cheap these days either.
No,
so,
it's not.
Yeah.
If I have to, you know, I'm looking at some house projects here in the very near future, and I'm honestly about to just go drywall.
You probably should.
You know,
just
dumb.
Just
it's
go
dumb.
Stone, man. Just get some stone.
Yeah, you know what? It's heavy. It's fine. It ain't going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere.
It's the Midwest. Man. Things blow, you know?
Get yourself a limestone. A nice southern limestone base.
Speaking from Kansas.
Yep.
No, I totally understand. And it, like you just said, German style beer brewed on German authentic equipment.
Sure.
Here in America.
Absolutely.
It's very, very cool.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about the Denver scene just a second. I know
I
noticed recently that a staple in downtown Denver, the Falling Rock Tavern.
Yeah.
Announced that they would be closing their doors permanently, citing COVID as part of it, citing just, you know, changes in the industry and how people are kind of starting to gravitate more towards tap rooms from the actual brewery. And, that takes an impact on the on-premise. How does Prost impact here in Kansas City? And not to get too dark with it, do you see something like that happening here?
I think it's, I don't want to get too dark either, and it's been something that has been kind of in the back of my mind for a while. Even with the boom that's taken place in Kansas City, it seems like there's, you know, so many breweries that popped up in the last 5 years that has maybe taken away from some of the bar scene. But I feel like in order to make it really work, you really have to have a tie-in with the community and making sure that it's all something that you guys are on the same level playing field and making sure that you're supporting the accounts that support you. And it's tough. I mean, Falling Rock has been around forever, and a lot of people have a really fond relationship with that establishment, and it's really difficult to see it go. But I think it's just time, you know? They've been doing it forever. I'm sure they weren't hurting by any means, and they were still, you know, making revenue. But when it comes to the end of it, it's about your personal, your own personal business, and making sure your personal life is not getting affected by it either. So, but I think with that, and just the presence with beer in general,
that's a tough question, man.
It really
was. I know. I threw it on you. You know,
you did. There is a toll that is taken when it comes to opening up new breweries and tap rooms being open, because people want to go to, especially if they're visiting from out of state, they want to go where they can't
get beer at
where they live.
Yeah,
and you do that and you go to the brewery directly. So it makes sense that that's where they're going to gravitate towards.
Well, and I think to kind of make it a little bit more optimistic and sunny here,
right,
is that in all honesty, the next realm of kind of where we navigate this industry is is finding the spot where we actually do coexist and grow together.
Totally.
And like you just said, there's an awful lot of people who come to an area and want to try the local craft, and they absolutely should. But also, you know, if you're here and you live here, we talked about this, I think, whenever we were doing a Shaxbury launch episode and talking about Shaxbury cider out of Vermont.
Yeah.
There's a cider that they have called the Vermonter. And the question is, how does it perform in an area that's not Vermont?
Right.
And, you know, in this day and age, especially now that we're talking about hybrid work models where you can work from forever or wherever.
Sure.
Not forever. Hopefully not.
Right.
But, like, you want to move somewhere where you feel comfortable and you want to try stuff, new stuff, and the things that the locals try there too. But at certain points, you just miss home.
Sure.
And to have something like that there or here in Kansas City called the Vermonter from Vermont is that comfort food of sorts, you know?
Sure.
It's like, not to compare something 3 hours away, but growing up and living in the Ozarks and moving to Kansas City, barbecue is fantastic. I can throw a rock right now and hit 10 great barbecue places.
Totally.
But if I wanted to find cashew chicken somewhere, it's not possible. It just doesn't compare. I got to go down to Springfield for that.
Right.
So until somebody puts a cashew chicken place here that does it to the style that I want it and my personal preference, I'm kind of lacking.
Sure.
And we don't have cashew chicken distributors that I know of.
Not yet. So I think that might be the next phase, actually.
So, yeah, whenever you do, when you open something, expand a brewery into market like Prost did in Kansas City, you're going for the Kansas City market, obviously.
Right.
You're introducing your beers to this area.
Sure.
But also there are people from Denver that have like, you know, I like the beer here, but I really like this, and I want this.
Right.
That's what this is for.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where that realm of coexisting kind of takes place.
Totally. Absolutely. And growing together. I mean, that's the biggest thing is making sure we support the accounts that support us. And
I did not intend on this going in this direction.
I wasn't either. I'm glad you brought it up, though, because it's stuff that we definitely need to be thinking about, especially in the industry. And the more things grow and more breweries tend to open, I mean, if we're going to be expecting lockdowns for the near future, I mean, we're going to be not depending on tap rooms as much as we have been. So
well, and now and in the future, it is an incredibly important time to get out there and support your local establishments.
Agreed.
So this is the time. If you have the comfort level and you have the time and you have the resources to do so, you absolutely should.
Agreed.
All right, let's get back on track.
Sure.
Anyway, so
yeah.
We just got done talking about Dunkel, and we talked about just the fantasticness of this beer. I know we kind of spotlighted Pilsner earlier, and we talked about the GABF medal winner, but we would be doing it an injustice if we didn't at least talk about it a little bit further and how incredible this style or this take on the style really is.
It is a fantastic beer. This is actually our best-selling beer overall, and I'll get a nice...
was that nice? So
I nailed that. No, this is a fantastic beer. It's our best selling beer out in Denver, and it's actually been kind of adopted as Denver's hometown pilsner.
Oh, nice!
It's
congratulations,
like gangbusters out there for us, and it's actually doing really, really well here too. I'd say in the last like 90 days, it's actually overtaken Dunkel just because of the seasonality of it.
Oh, that's
But overall, Dunkel is still our number one. But just with the summer and the hotter months, it seems like this is what people are kind of gravitating more towards. But fantastic beer. It's more of like a northern style German Pilsner. So like the more north you get in Germany, the hoppier the Pilsners tend to be. So it's actually more of like what you'd have in like Bremen, kind of similar to like the Bitburger.
Okay.
Or even like more akin to like a Czech Pils even as well. But yeah, really nice take on the style. And
cheers,
like
sir.
I mentioned, Prost. Absolutely.
Like I mentioned earlier. I wasn't going
to
say it.
I
figure
too
at some
obvious?
Point you get a little tired of hearing it. But
I
hey,
never get tired of
Prost, buddy.
That, hearing that. Prost. Absolutely. No, it never gets old, man. And I normally don't correct people either. I
oh, that's good.
It was fitting.
That's good. That's very good.
But no, it's been doing really well for us, like I said earlier. And just a perfect sipper on a nice hot day as well.
It
and
is.
Just a great year-round beer, too.
You mentioned that you're a Colorado guy, and you mentioned that you grew up in the Denver area. Do you and you've been in Kansas City for quite some time now.
I have, yeah.
How many years
are we going on? Well, I lived in Lawrence for like 10 years, so I actually started out as a distributor there. But I've been in Kansas City for about 8 years now.
In no restrictive terms, tell me your thoughts on Patrick Mahomes.
I think he's amazing. I think he's absolutely amazing.
Okay.
I hate the fact that he plays for the
Chiefs
because I'm a Broncos guy. Growing up in the 90s in Denver, moving to Kansas City was tough.
Yeah.
I couldn't feasibly switch teams. If anybody moved from Kansas City to Denver, would they switch teams?
Not at all.
It's just not going to happen.
Not at all.
I think when I pitch it up that way, I think people tend to respect it a little bit more.
You got to get past that initial, boo.
Right.
I definitely think you're the best kind of fan recognizes true fandom.
Totally. Absolutely.
And it's definitely there. I get that.
It's really hard to be
a
Broncos fan right now because it's not looking good.
It really is.
It's not great.
I do like your quarterback.
He's a Mizzou guy.
Yeah. The one that's
there
right now.
I'm a KU guy, though, too, so it's even more hard.
I didn't even register that one. That was good. Yeah. No. Well, I'm pulling for you at some point here in the next 15 years. That contract's not looking good for you either.
It's not. No. It's gonna be. We'll see.
Look, every single time I went to Arrowhead Stadium and I watched Peyton Manning literally dismantle my team, this is worth it. All of this is worth it.
All this is totally worth it.
That's
building up to this
sweet
point.
Karma. That's all that is.
I mean, it was a good at least 2 decades of pretty much dominance.
You go into 2 minutes left in the game and with a lead, and Peyton Manning just like a machine, just dismantles, and you knew it was coming.
He was a machine. He really was.
So anyway, happy now.
Hey,
this is
fun. I'll take my loves. I'll take them. Had a lot of things to cheer about over the years, so I'll take them now, I guess.
It's very true. It's very true. This is two great franchises and a really good rivalry, actually.
It's one of the best, man.
I love
the rivalry.
I love going to Denver, actually, and some of the bars there are Kansas City bars.
There are a few, yeah.
That's so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. It was a fandom I didn't even realize was there until I saw it, and I'm like, holy crap.
There's a lot of people that moved to Denver from Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's right there. I think it's one of the better rivalries in sports, actually, because it's not as – I don't think there's a ton of animosity. I don't think people hate each other. I think both teams respect each other enough to make it, a friendly-ish
rivalry.
It's
not like the Raiders.
Everybody hates the Raiders, right.
That's our bonding moment
right
there.
Everybody hates the Raiders equally, so there we go.
That's the one you don't buy tickets to the upper deck portion of it.
Right.
Something could go down.
Totally. Although I will say I was at the Chiefs game in, I think, 98 when Bobby Brister came into town and beat the Chiefs, and I think it was the record-setting game for the most penalty yards for unsportsmanlike conduct. I say it's like a friendly rivalry, but then there are some times where there's flashes of
that. Was a different time, sir.
It was a different time.
It was. And if you ask any Kansas City fan right now, nothing happened before 2018.
Right.
We don't look back.
Yep.
Let's reel this in and look forward. Actually,
we definitely need to reel it in for sure.
as much as I love to put time restrictions on podcasts, I do want to talk very briefly about something that is not necessarily Reinholdsgebot, something that's not necessarily German tradition. I want to talk seltzer.
Okay, sure.
And Prost actually dipping their feet into the seltzer market.
We have. We actually have a seltzer that's available in Colorado only, and we are selling it in 12 packs, actually. So it's a variety pack with 4 different flavors. So we have ginger peach, which is going over very well, the strawberry rose, which is surprisingly my favorite one of the bunch, and lemon elderberry as well. And then we have a I'm blanking right now.
I don't even know the fourth one, actually, now that I think about it.
But it is available in Colorado, and we are going to be releasing it here potentially down the road. I don't think there's any – we wanted to see how it would do in Colorado first since it is our home market, and there are so many other seltzers that are going to be launching. It just makes it difficult to make sure that we're doing it right and doing the justice that needs to go behind it as far as marketing goes.
I think the really exciting thing to hear about, what you just said and the flavor profiles that you just
stuck cucumber
out
lime.
There. Cucumber
there
lime.
There it is. Good Lord.
Hey. I thought about something that I had a conversation 3 months ago earlier today, and I almost texted the group that I was like, by the way, it was this. So, you're doing better than me.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. It's Barry Melrose. He's the ESPN commentator for hockey.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you guys are listening, I found it.
You found out Barry Melrose. Yes.
We're just whittling away the audience because that's something only 3 people know. Anyway.
Beautiful hair on that man.
It really was. And he knew his hockey.
Yep.
Back to it. My favorite thing that I really appreciate about what you just said is we've kind of hit a point here in the seltzer category,
sure,
where we're beyond certain innovation, and you can't just throw out some sort of fizzy water and throw some sort of random flavor into it. But what we've kind of noticed is the seltzers that are starting to prevail are those that mix flavors and fuse, sure, these flavors in ways that not a lot of people necessarily think about. Cucumber lime, that's a little approachable. I think, sure, people have heard that one. But you start throwing elderberry into things,
mm-hmm,
okay, now you're getting a little unique. You're going to pick that up because, yeah, you haven't had it before.
Absolutely. And I think it's, honestly, I'm not a huge seltzer guy. I haven't tried them all, but I would put this up against the majority of them out there because it is so unique. We actually use, we say it's a Riesling yeast that we use, but it's actually a Gewürztraminer. I don't know if I'm saying
what?
That right. Gewürztraminer. It's like a white wine made in Germany.
Oh, okay, okay.
And that, gotcha, varietal. But we use that yeast,
okay,
as a base. And it really shines through. It actually tastes more in line with what you'd have, like almost like it tastes more like a wine in a lot of ways, but like a really,
wow,
refreshing one.
Okay.
So it's they're fantastic. We've had them at the brewery now. We have them on tap as well. And I think we're doing more like ginger peach tap in Colorado, but at the brewery, I mean, they just go over very well. It's actually, it's funny, we actually had to get nucleated glassware.
Oh, wow.
Because if you just poured it into our regular Pilsner glass, it looked like water, like just sitting on a table. So the nucleated glass, we actually have our goat logo actually embossed in the bottom of the glass,
man,
to make sure the bubbles keep flowing throughout.
Look,
so,
at that commitment.
Yeah, it's commitment, man. You
that
know?
Is nuts.
Absolutely.
That
but is it is nuts. Fantastic, and the presentation is amazing.
So we can expect to see this in Kansas City, not now, not necessarily in the immediate future, but down the road?
I'd say down the road, yeah. Okay. Probably next year is what we're looking at,
cool,
hopefully. And we want to make sure that we're marketing it properly and getting the proper attention that it deserves.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm excited, sure, to see that. I'm excited to see what Prost has coming up here in the very near future, not,
sure,
necessarily seltzer related.
Sure.
We're, you know, now that we look back on the year and we kind of reflected what it's been like to have Prost in Kansas City,
mm-hmm,
where do you see the outlook for Prost going in this market 1 to 5 years from now?
Sure. I think it's, like I mentioned earlier, is really just approaching it on an account by account basis and making sure that we're supporting the accounts that support us. I mean, we have in our arsenal quite a bit to offer when it comes to just like the branding. I think our logo itself is just really eye-catching and just popping, but the beer itself is enough to carry it through and shine on its own.
I mean, it's said in like 80% of toasts as well, so, you know.
Sure, yeah. I mean, people know the name. Like, they definitely know the name.
Good marketing, right?
It
there.
Is good marketing. Yes. But I think as far as being able to be transferable, I think there really is a kind of a renaissance for lighter beers in a lot of ways, because a lot of the hop heads that I've known forever that really just wanted like the triple, quadruple, hazy, highest ABV stuff for so long, they're starting to kind of get back into the more approachable, sessionable beers. And I think that this is where we kind of shine. So we showcase our hops, like in our Pilsner, for instance, so well that I feel like it's something that's easily transferable to somebody who's kind of trying to scale back a little bit on that. So I feel like there's a lot of legs that are that we can run with.
No, it's actually a really, really good point. And you hit on an even broader subject, which is also important to highlight here, in that Prost and the beers that are in your portfolio, the beers that are on our shelves and taps around Kansas City, definitely are a centerpiece in a market of beer drinkers who I don't want to necessarily say are more health conscious, even,
sure,
though that's also true. Because, you know, you can't necessarily always equate lower ABV to healthier for you.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's an audience that values situations and being in a social circle where you're around these people all the time. You want to have these social instances where you can withstand being in the social instance longer than 20 or 30 minutes and getting hammered on something that's 12%.
Totally.
And not remembering the rest of the night.
Totally.
You want something that you're going to be able to continue to enjoy throughout that social instance. And lower ABV is kind of the answer for that. And it's not something,
agreed,
you want to get full on.
Sure. I mean, you can have 2, 3 and still function.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah,
something that's
what we're doing right now with this podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, we're sipping on them. We're not chugging them by any means. But yeah, it's
You're not.
I'm kidding. You're very, very sly with your chugging skills there.
Yeah. I just want to really highlight how drinkable they are. Can't put them down.
You're doing a great job of that. So yeah, going back to the calorie intake too, they're actually all under 150 calories.
That's impressive.
Like our Dunkel is, I think, is at 150.
Because most people think that whenever you
highlight calorie, you do so at the sacrifice of flavor. Not true.
Not true. Not in this case. No. And it's something we've been talking about, actually, like putting on our can and making sure that people know about it. In certain areas, I've actually had people tell me they don't want me to put the calorie intake on the can just because they're like, oh, people, they don't want to know like how many calories are in a beer. Just let them not think about it. Don't worry about it. But yeah. For Colorado and we're in cans, I feel like the outdoor lifestyle lens, you want to have a beer when you're out on the trail somewhere. And what else is better than, you know, kind of if you're going to be counting your calories to begin with, knowing exactly what's in there. So
very good point.
Something that we're down the line going to probably showcase.
Okay. On our cans. Well, I appreciate that. As someone who actually, you know, does appreciate the transparency of everything. That's good to know.
Absolutely.
Your ingredients are obviously also not very well known, but pretty well known. It's nothing, you're not going to throw some sort of secret ingredient. And these beers in particular, there's not a lot of places you can hide within those beers.
Totally.
So everything is at the forefront. Everything is being showcased, and it's done so deliciously.
Well, thank you, sir.
So Prost, out in Kansas City. Been there for a year. If you haven't had it yet, don't know what you're doing.
Interchange that.
Yeah, but we have the opportunity to do so.
Yes, we do.
Did I hit on everything?
I think so. Well, as far as events and things going on, we have quite a few lined up in October, actually. We're going to be doing some things with Barley's on the Kansas side, doing a Kill the Keg night.
Night
in October. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. So both locations are going to have a keg on, and whoever kills it first gets bragging rights. I probably need to get a trophy made up for the winner.
I got
to
pick a location.
Oh, you got to pick a location. That's right. And then we have a Rocktoberfest that we're going to be doing at Rock and Brews the day after that, so October 9th. So looking forward to that. There's going to be a few other breweries out there, and they're going to kind of treat it like a festival in a lot of ways too. So open up their patio and have some tents set up out there and some bands. So
put those on your calendar.
Absolutely.
Before I let you go, and you mentioned that you have listened to some podcasts of ours in the past.
Sure.
If you have, you're familiar with this next segment called Five Heavy Hitters.
Yeah.
Butter up!
Five Heavy Hitters.
I'm going to throw five totally random questions your way.
Okay.
All I need is just a response.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Ready.
Question number one, what is the most expensive thing you've ever broken?
Probably a car that I wrecked. I swerved to miss a deer, and it was actually handed down to me. It was my grandmother's 1992 Cadillac Sedan DeVille. It was beautiful.
Oh, of course, it was the caddy.
I was driving early morning going to work, and the deer ran out and swerved and ended up in a ditch.
You ever think like deer know what they're doing? They're going to act like they don't, but they do.
I have a feeling at this point, evolution should have caught up enough for them that they should know to avoid highways.
That's why they know exactly what they're doing. They're like, you know what? Screw this guy.
Maybe they're like suicidal these days.
This guy's having too good of a day. I'm going to go just totally throw him off.
Well, the worst thing was it was the start of my day. I was actually on my way to work first thing in the morning, and that was brutal.
It's all downhill.
I would
say
Cadillac Sedan DeVille 92.
That's valid. That's very valid. Yeah. Okay. Question number two.
Sure.
What is your cure for hiccups?
I don't really get hiccups. Like
bull
I get them,
crap.
I get them, but they don't last. Like they don't linger.
Well, then what's your secret? What's your cure?
Just being
Matt shaded.
I'm pretty chill to begin with, so maybe that has something to do with it. I think when it's funny, I've actually cured other people's hiccups before.
Okay, what
and
do you
I
do?
I feel like just I just talking to them and kind of soothing them and talking them down.
Oh,
like, hey man,
just breathe.
It's okay.
I'm going to chug that dunkel, and then you can't leave because I want to see if this works.
Okay. All right. We can do that. We can make it happen.
That's a good answer. You know, just your ambiance.
Right, right.
Wow.
Just breathe. Just remember to breathe.
Wow. You need to find a way to bottle this. Put it on shelves next to the seltzer. Coming soon. Cure for hiccups.
Cure for hiccups right here.
The amazing Shaded's cure for hiccups.
Yes. All right.
Question number three. If Prost could get anyone in the world to endorse their beer, who were you approaching?
I think David Hasselhoff would be perfect. Just
the Hoff.
The Hoff, man. The German aspect. You can't get more German than that, but also
very
American
true.
At the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first thing that popped into my head, so I'm just going to go with that.
You know, he's still got a lot of street cred with the kids, too.
He does, man.
I think he was in SpongeBob.
Was he?
I don't know. I feel like I saw a meme or something on Reddit. Of David Hasselhoff and SpongeBob.
Sure.
And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people coming into my office or emailing me after this podcast.
They probably will.
Tell me yay or nay.
I'm sure people at the brewery are like, really? Yeah. Hasselhoff?
David
but,
Hasselhoff,
you know, I'm gonna stick with it. I'm going to stick to my guns.
Can you think of anybody else that's German? Not necessarily, maybe. I mean,
I don't know. What about, okay, hold on. What about Christoph Waltz?
He'd be great.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's actually traditionally German. I know he's very good at speaking German.
I think he is. He might be Austrian. I can't really remember, but he's amazing.
Yeah. That's not a bad one. But hey, no, he doesn't have the name cred that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, people know him. They know his face.
The Hoff.
Yeah. But I mean, it's Christoph Waltz. But I think, yeah, you're right. The name, the Hoff.
Prost.
He probably already does some endorsements here and there. But yeah.
This is actually a
pitch. But Christoph Waltz would be good too.
Yeah.
And I can't really think of any other like famous Germans besides like, you know.
Don't go there.
The Scorpions. No, I'm not going to go there. Thinking Scorpions, like, you know, or Falco. Remember that guy?
I remember Falco.
Rocky Amadeus.
Number four. What bit of trivia do you know that is very interesting but also very useless?
I am really good at telling you what years movies came out.
Really?
Yeah.
I Alien.
Don't know what it is about it. 1979.
Holy Yeah. Okay. Hold on. Armageddon.
It gets a little dicey when we get closer to that, but I'm going to say 98.
So the 90s are a rough
2000s point. Are a little tough. I'm really okay. good with like 70s, 80s, 50s, okay. 60s, okay. all that.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, I mean, 98 is when Armageddon came out.
Okay. Jaws.
Jaws was 75.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I'm not going to Google it. I think you're right.
Damn, I hope I'm right. I think I am. I'm usually within 1 year.
Screw it. I'm going to look it up. Let's see. Jaws, you said 75?
I did.
Okay. If it's not 75, you owe me a case of Dunkel. 75.
Boom.
Nailed it. Nailed
totally
it.
Nailed it.
Yeah. I'll have to bring back some IPL for you whenever I bootleg it.
Yes, please do. All right.
That's good. That's good. Actually, I don't know. Is there like a trivia around town that like showcases the years movies came out?
I mean, it's usually something they talk about.
We need a campaign for that. I
don't know what it is, man. I just know what year they came out. For some reason, I can just kind of look back on like what filmmaking styles were being used, and I just kind of just
that's impressive.
Know.
It's incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
Being a Colorado guy, you might appreciate this. I actually have campaigned, and it might have happened since the pandemic, but I don't know. I haven't really been out, but
nobody has.
But and there may be a bar or a brewery out there doing it now. But I, for the longest time, have wanted to do a South Park trivia night because South Park has always been like my one trivia thing. I just want to go out and showcase my knowledge.
you know so much about it.
I might lose. I don't know, but I just want to go. Be so much fun.
I guarantee you there are South Park trivia nights
I feel
somewhere.
Like, dude, if there's like the freaking Parks and Rec trivia or the Office trivia I get, but like Harry Potter trivia, okay,
right.
Give me my South Park. Come on. Put some respect on Matt and Trey's name.
I would agree. I think they kind of are a little under the radar when it comes to the respect category. They've been doing it for a long time.
There was freaking Bob's Burger trivia. Come on. Come on. Anyways.
Come on, guys.
Offside.
Come on, trivia, guys.
Last question I have for you. Question number five.
I thought that was number five.
No, it's not.
Oh,
it's not. I got one more.
Oh boy,
sneaking out of here. Come on now. All of those questions about like what years movies came out, they don't count.
They don't count.
No. Oh man. Question eight. you're familiar with soup,
like the food?
Yes.
Yes. I'm familiar with soup.
Just making sure.
Okay.
And you're familiar with cereal.
I am familiar with cereal. Yes.
Where's the line? What line do we draw between soup and cereal? What constitutes what?
Oatmeal?
That's the line?
I mean, isn't that kind of like a combination of the two?
It's in the aisle, like, they specify in some grocery stores.
Oh, you're talking like the physical line?
Yeah,
like,
no,
in the, like at the store?
No, I'm talking about line in your head. Like what are you eating? Or, yeah, I guess eating, since soup and cereal you're eating. But, like, what are you eating? You're like, that's soup or that's cereal. Oatmeal?
I mean, you could make oatmeal soup as soupy as you want it to be. I think that's kind of one of the cool things about it.
So like is
you
oatmeal can make it a cereal lumpy. Or is it a soup?
I think it's a cereal, but you can make it soupy. But I guess you can make anything soupy of that, and if we're getting really down to
you
it.
You took my question, and instead of answering it, you just made it worse.
Maybe I did. I'm sticking with oatmeal, though, man. That's the line.
Oatmeal is the line. That's fair. It was a weird one. I didn't know what to expect with it, so I'll absolutely take that answer. Holy crap. Matt Shaded, thank you so very much
thank
for
coming
Thank
you so much in, for having
man.
Me, yes.
This has been a lot of fun.
It's been
and,
fun,
and
for
it's,
sure.
It's been a year. It's it been a literal year. I think I said that in the email too. Like it's been long.
A year. Yeah.
And it's been very exciting to see what Prost has grown into in Kansas City. And it's gonna be very exciting to see where it goes from here.
It's been an amazing year. I think I touched on it earlier, but the launch last year was unbelievable. Just the support that we got from Central States, just rallying behind it and pushing it out there and making sure pretty much everybody in Kansas City got a chance to try it. It was great. So
thank you guys so much for doing that and facilitating it.
Also kind of seeing the way that Kansas City has embraced it as well, too. This is a really good time to plug our friend Reuven in the Kansas City Social. He gives us a shout-out all the time.
Absolutely.
So I got to share that. I got to share that, too. You know, he was one of the first to really embrace this brand, and it's been very, very cool to see not just what the Social has done with it, but its impact that it's had on Kansas City.
For sure. So, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Reuven.
And yeah, go get some Prost on shelves, on taps, all around town.
Prost.
Of Information by Central States Beverage Company.